Xnilo's web hosting technical expertise, service, and 20 years of experience helped to enable over 500,000 website owners grow their businesses. Go to xnilo.co.za today to open your business to the world. Xnilo, trusted in hosting. Duncan McLeod, and this is the Tech Central podcast brought to you today by iOCO. Now, this is part of a series of podcasts with senior iOCO and EOH executives. And if you missed the first few in the series that we have recorded, please do go check them out. You can access our podcast directly via podcast.africa or simply find them on the podcast section on the Tech Central website. Some really interesting discussions we're having as part of the series. So do go and check them out. Now, Adrian, I wish I could say this was the first time I'm meeting you, but this is actually the second time we are recording this podcast because we had some technical challenges the last time around. But it is very good to see you again. Adrian is co-founder and CEO of a company called Nuvotech, and we're going to be chatting today about medical innovation and technology, and specifically looking at this company and what it has achieved. So, Adrian, welcome to you for the second time.
Cool. Thanks, Duncan. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. You've got lovely offices there. You're based in Pretoria, I believe.
Yes. So we have our head offices here in Pretoria, here in Hazelwood, which is nice and open plan. We don't have many people coming into the office at the moment, but we're hoping to open it up slowly but surely. And then we also have a location in Brazil and a location in Bangalore in India.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's great. So, yeah, you empty offices, COVID. I think it's a fairly common sight these days. I'm still amazed at how empty the highways are. Have you adjusted as a company quite well to the work from home situation?
Yeah, I think we're lucky. Obviously, being in the technology space, we were actually working quite from home quite often before COVID hit us. And like our Brazilian team members have been part of our team for, I think, almost 6 years now, and they work from home every day. So, we've implemented like stand ups and different mechanisms to make everyone feel part of the team. Obviously, we have flown the Brazilian team here and we've been there. And now with our new team in India, we've been there many times and they've been here. So, but yeah, I know we've adjusted quite nicely, but, yeah, nothing beats some office humor. So we're looking forward to this whole thing settling down so that we can spend more time together.
Absolutely. So, Adrian, tell me a little bit about Nuvotech. When was the company founded? What does it do? What's its main focus areas? And when did it become part of the iOCO / EOH stable?
Yes. Yeah, so, my background is in the technology space. I studied at the University of Pretoria and worked as an Oracle consultant for many years. And I was lucky enough to do my postgrad with a friend of mine. And he's in the pharmaceutical and the medical research space. And he told me about how clinical research is being done on the African continent. And there must be a way to do it in a better way because it's very paper driven, very manual, very prone to errors. And I left my previous employer and we started Nuvotech about 7 years ago. And our main focus then and still today is to digitize clinical research. So the typical clinical trials that you would have being executed on the continent, it's very paper driven, very expensive. You can imagine we've got a lot of different types of diseases in lots of different African countries. We went on this journey to build a platform that is not only robust and safe and secure and meets the international guidelines, but it's affordable. And today, we've got a whole bunch of different platforms that sort of form part of this entire life cycle of a clinical research project or a clinical trial. So it went well. And towards the end of 2016, we went through a process where we were acquired by the EOH group of companies. We went through a couple of name changes. And today we're here, and we're still a small team. We're about 20 people, and a couple of different locations, like I mentioned earlier. And from here, we run our operation. So we have lots of customers accessing our software. We host everything with Amazon Web Services. So we have our solutions deployed in different regions. But we've got customers from all over, and a lot of them in Europe, a lot of them in the US, and then all of our trials, all of our research projects, we execute either in Africa or in India. We have quite a big following in India.
I was just about to ask what happens at your Brazilian and Indian offices as opposed to your South African office.
So so here in South Africa is our core competency, or our developers and our head of operations and all of that resides here in South Africa. The two guys that we have in Brazil are part of our senior software development team. So they also service that sort of geographic region. If there are issues or something happens during the night, they are still awake at that time and they can service that area. Then in India, because we've got such a big following there, we don't have a technical competency, but we've got we call them product or project managers. So they typically are the middleman between our customers and our development team. So they're there helping people onboard, creating new studies, going through training sessions, doing a lot of demonstrations. So our team in India focuses more on that. I'm quite heavily involved in setting up our partner network in India. We've got lots of resellers in India that resell our software to the pharmaceutical companies.
Okay. Now, I guess it's fair to describe you as a med tech company. I know there's so many descriptions for companies operating in different spaces, different verticals. Is it fair to call you a med tech player?
Yeah, it is quite diverse, and we've been invited to a couple of conferences, and they classify us as a medtech player. We're in our pharmaceutical industry, they tend to refer to us as an e-clinical solutions provider. So we typically build we have the software that the people use to capture data, to clean data, to process data, everything as part of the clinical trial to ultimately run it through statistical modeling processes to see if a specific vaccine or a drug is effective and safe. But other players in the medtech space are obviously the wearables, the sensors. There are so many players nowadays in the market that do lots of wonderful things, but we're more in the web-based, cloud-based solutions, and we our core focus is around the capturing of patient data, the processing of it, and the cleaning of it.
So, Adrian, obviously, COVID-19 is the topic at the moment. Vaccination specifically, we know there are multiple vaccines being developed by various manufacturers. Have any of your clients been involved in vaccine development?
Yeah, we've been very lucky to be part of a couple of vaccine trials. And one of our customers is the Serum Institute of India, and they're one of the largest manufacturers of vaccines in the world. So we've done a couple of studies with them. And also during this period, I think towards the end of last year, we did quite an interesting trial with the Israeli government where we tested a rapid testing device. So it's a device that tests whether you're COVID positive or not, and it tests you within 5 minutes. So we recruited 10,000 patients in 6 or 7 days. Unfortunately, the device didn't work as accurately as we wanted it to, but it happens quite often. But from a vaccine perspective, we've been very lucky. We're part of a number of different trials using 4 vaccine trials, a couple in South Africa, some in Africa. But probably the most significant one is the Covaxin trial, which is being run in India. It's just concluded a couple of weeks ago and is one of the 2 vaccines that received emergency approval for the people in India. They're very strict when it comes to their approval. So we're very fortunate to be part of that process. And they've just kicked off a new phase of that trial where they're going to launch the same study in Brazil, which will be our first study in Brazil, which is going to be quite exciting. And obviously they want to test it on a different population group, different people metabolize these drugs in different ways. And there might be some different safety signals that come out of these trials. So, we're happy. We're actually kicking off that Brazilian one tomorrow. The whole project team's getting together, and we'll see how it goes.
Fantastic. So I know nothing about clinical research or much about the medical industry more broadly, to be honest with you, Adrian. What is actually involved in clinical research? Why do you need why does technology play such an important role in the work that these people do? In other words, I guess what I'm asking is, what does your solution help clinical researchers do in developing vaccines and whatever else they happen to be working on?
Yeah, so obviously the clinical research industry, I also didn't know much about it, I think 7 years ago. We caught on, well, not quickly, but over time, once you've heard the same acronym, I think 17 times you remember it. But it's a very regulated industry, and it's all around data quality and ultimately the safety of the participants and the patients. So when it comes to implementing technology platform, it's really to improve that, to improve data quality and ultimately to make the execution of a trial more efficient. So historically, how it typically works in a clinical trial, a large manufacturer or a large pharmaceutical company like a Pfizer or a GSK, they would discover a new compound. They will take it through animal studies. Then they'll register it for human trials. And then when they engage with these human subjects, it goes through a long process, many years, where a typical trial takes place. With these COVID vaccines, obviously we fast-track this process just because of the urgency. But during this process, you collect medical endpoints from participants or patients, and you see is there any side effects that develop over time. And in the old days, it used to happen on paper, and not only is capturing these endpoints on paper very prone to errors, but then you have to transcribe these paper endpoints into a centralized like system where they can run the statistical analysis on. And there were a lot of errors where people made mistakes while typing in these values. So I think what we're doing is we're trying to provide world-class solutions that are fully FDA validated. The FDA and the EMA, the FDA is the Food and Drug Administration in the US, and the EMA is the European Medicines Authority. They are the big regulators in the world when it comes to platforms like ourselves. Just you have to adhere to a whole bunch of stuff. I'll get into detail around that a little bit later. But so our main goal is to build a platform that adheres to all of those things. To ultimately improve clinical research and the quality of the data, make it more efficient. But the big thing is to make it affordable for countries in Africa to make use of NICE technology platforms, or in India. Because these platforms do exist. They existed before Nuvotech was started. But all of our competitors are based in the US and in Europe. And with our currencies here in Africa and with the Indian rupee, we're very weak against the dollar and the euro. So it's very tough for us to pay so many thousands of dollars per month to run a study. So yeah, that's our main goal, to provide world-class solutions at an affordable price.
Interesting. Now, I imagine that a lot of your clients are developing IP sensitive or vaccines or other doing other medical research that contains IP that they want to protect. How important is information security in this field, and how is it built into your offering?
Yeah, so obviously extremely, extremely important. Luckily, when it comes to us as a company, we're a 100% a software vendor. So we don't employ any specialists when it comes to pharmacologists or medical doctors, or we don't execute the clinical research project ourselves. We purely provide the platform. So we always tend to tell people we built a Excel in inverted commas, to tell someone you built Excel or recreated Excel is very difficult to say, because it's an extremely powerful product. Mm-hmm. But so we created an Excel, and then whether it's a chartered accountant that does very complex company valuations on it, or whether it's someone running a wedding registry company using Excel, what they do on there is up to them. So when it comes to the privacy of these protocols, and that's what they call these pieces of IP. So they've got a specific protocol of a specific compound that they want to test. Luckily, the construction of the actual compound is protected under like an international patent law. But how they want to execute the trial and specific things they want to test is captured in the protocol, which is sort of the blueprint of how they want to execute the trial. Okay. And those normally reside with these professional services companies that execute clinical trials on behalf of big pharmaceutical companies. So We don't have control over that, but obviously data privacy and data security is extremely important to us. So we do make use of world-class data centers to host all of our platforms. We are supported quite heavily by the IOCO cloud business from an AWS perspective. So we've got all the data encryption and failovers and replication across multiple zones, multiple geographic areas, all of those things in place, as we have to because of the FDA and the EMA requirements, but just because of the sensitivity of the data that we do house within our solution. So, yeah, very, very important. We get audited many times a year to make sure all of our things are in place. So very important to us.
Now, you've got a platform called Nucleus. It's an EDC platform. What does EDC stand for again?
So EDC is a term that our industry came up with. It's just when they moved from the paper collection process into an electronic capturing process. So they call it electronic data capture.
Okay.
So it's just, you know, an electronic data capturing platform. And that is our most popular platform, and they use that to collect all the patient data and process and clean it.
Okay. And is Nucleus the core of your offering?
Yes. So we've got a couple of different platforms. So the Nucleus is the one core, specifically in our clinical research side of our business. Nucleus is the core. We've got a couple of other products that fits in quite nicely with Nucleus to create a complete offering. One of the other products is called Safety Base. It manages and measures all the adverse drug reactions or adverse events that do take place during a trial. So lots of people use that as a standalone product, and then they use the competitor of Nucleus, or we have lots of competitors, or they use it as an integrated solution. And then we also, over time, created an electronic medical records platform, which is more mainstream, not really clinical research specific, how to run a doctor's practice, or we use it quite heavily in the home nursing space. It's called Phoenix. It's our electronic medical records platform, sort of a sister of Nucleus, all having the same kind of things when it comes to data security and audit trails and role-based access. Those are our three main platforms on the healthcare side.
Okay. And you've got a number of achievements under your belt. Only company in sub-Saharan Africa with an FDA, that's the US FDA, I presume, validated clinical research platform. What does that mean?
So it's to what I alluded a little bit earlier. So when you build platforms that people use in this industry to obviously collect and process data that is ultimately going to be used to register a product that you are going to give to humans and babies. So obviously during a clinical trial process, you do sign consent to be part of the experimental drug.
Right.
If you're part of that entire process, it is extremely you could just imagine the software that you use to process the data has to be perfect. It's like an internet banking platform. The FDA and the EMA, they the European Medicines Authority, they have these guidelines that you have to adhere to when you register and make use of a product, a software product. And as part of that, the one part of it is to test each and every feature within your system in a very specific way. It's very tedious. We're working on a process to automate that entire process for us with the IOCO automation team, which we're very excited about. But it's very, very tedious to document everything. And then as part of that, your company should also have a very robust quality management system. So everything we do here at Nubotech is we follow specific SOPs of how do we gather new requirements? How do we document it? How do we give it to our developers? How do they build it? How do they test it? How do they give it back to us to test? How do we document it? How do we make it part of a new release that goes out? So it's sort of a very mechanical, stringent process, but we have to do it that way because that is the requirement of this industry, and we understand the sensitivity of the kinds of stuff we work with. All of our competitors, to our knowledge, are based either in the US or in Western Europe. There are a couple of players in India and Southeast Asia, but we're happy to sort of fly the African flag here from Pretoria and to provide FDA validated and these robust solutions to the clinical research community in Africa.
Good stuff. Before I let you go, Adrian, I wanted to ask you a bit about the work you've done with the African Academy of Sciences in Kenya. I believe you've built a platform for them. Take us through that project, what was involved and what that platform does for them.
Yes, no, that's so our core business is really building our own products, which we then follow like a subscription model, typical SaaS model for people to use it. But every now and then we've got lots of influential people in our industry globally. And if there is a call or a RFP that does come out to assist them with a project, we do see if we can help them out. So one of those projects, which is quite exciting, is one that we started with last year, is with the African Academy of Sciences. They're based there in Nairobi. So what we did for them is they get a lot of funding from the Gates Foundation. So the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation was also quite involved with this project, which is a great experience for us. So what we did there is if anyone wants to come to the African continent, and actually it's like this in most countries, except maybe Western Europe and the US, if they want to find a specific researcher or a medical doctor that has experience with a specific type of disease when it comes to research, or if they want to find a specific research site, or if they want to find a specific logistics provider that can transport blood samples, it's quite a tedious process. So if you want to find someone, if you want to find a country that has a high disease burden on for malaria in children, and you also want to find researchers in that country who can help you with the clinical trial because you are from Oxford University and you found, you discovered something that you want to test, it's really difficult. So we went on a journey to gather all the data on different university computers, on Excel databases, on Access databases, open source libraries. We implemented a whole bunch of very nice robotic process automation, scraping tools to scrape public sources of information. So we built an interactive portal which allows anyone globally to access researchers on the African continent through an interactive map. It looks like Airbnb. So you can very quickly filter who you're looking for, what experience should they have, where are they based. And you can also then, we've overlaid it with data that we got from the IHME, as they're based there in Seattle. So disease burden data. So you can see exactly what the disease burden of that specific country is, and we've got all kinds of diseases in that database, and then you can very quickly see based on a heat map where and what happens. And in the inside of the platform, it's like a LinkedIn Lite. So we created a LinkedIn sort of platform for these researchers and these research professionals and the research sites to profile themselves, to tell people about themselves, what kind of experience they have. And we're kicking off the second phase of this project in March, where we're going to open it up to the biggest sort of the service provider community. So all the people who transport blood samples or logistics of importing samples into a country, or clinical research professionals or statisticians or anyone who actually executes a clinical trial, to for them also to feature themselves on the platform. So yeah, the ultimate goal of the African Academy of Sciences is really to highlight the amazing research capabilities we have on the continent, and to think that we account for 20% of the world's population and we only receive 1% of the world's investment when it comes to clinical research. I think, this kind of platform, it's exciting to be part of it. And I think, it will definitely have a positive impact over the coming years.
Very exciting indeed. Some great work going on there, and a fascinating discussion, Adrian. It's an area that we don't often get to cover here on Tech Central. So it's really interesting to hear about the technology innovations that are happening in the medical field, and how IT is being applied to solve some of the challenges there. Adrian Kruger is co-founder and CEO at Nuvotech. You'll find them on the web at, I think it's nuvotech.io. Is that right, Adrian?
Yes. So Nuvotech, we have quite a weird spelling of our names. Nuvotech with a Q at the end, .io. But yeah, happy to share our stories. And if people want to reach out to us, happy to engage with them.
Great stuff. That's NuvoTech with a Q.io. That's the website. I was just saying to someone else I was heading to on this podcast series a bit earlier today that some interesting use of URLs happening at the moment, and I'm about to use one of them, podcast.africa, if you want to find the rest of the series online. Or just navigate to the podcast section on the Tech Central website, and you'll find the other interviews in this series there. But Adrian, thanks so much for your time today. Great to chat to you.
Yes, thank you, Duncan. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to joining you again soon.